This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave. The music of the Grateful Dead was the soundtrack for the psychedelic scene in San Francisco in the 60s. The band's experimental, spontaneous music and philosophy became a lifestyle for thousands of fans throughout the 70s, 80s, and into the 90s. In 1995, Jerry Garcia, the lead guitarist, vocalist, and spiritual heart of the band, died, and with him the Grateful Dead ceased to exist. But the remaining members have formed their own bands. Last weekend in Wisconsin, they all reunited to play a concert under the name The Other Ones, and now they're planning a fall tour. The band's longtime publicist, Dennis McNally, has just published a history of the Dead called A Long, Strange Trip. McNally, a historian, is also the author of a best-selling biography of Jack Kerouac. One of the things McNally explores in the book is the enduring and prolific songwriting partnership between Jerry Garcia and Robert Hunter. According to McNally, by the late 70s, the two men had become so in tune with each other, they'd be struck with moments of mutual inspiration, which happened when they wrote this song from Terrapin Station.
Seem familiar. Shadows of a sailor forming winds both foul and fair all swarm. Down in Carlisle he loved a lady many years ago. There's a Grateful Dead song that's very beloved called Terrapin Station, and Jerry got the idea for it driving across the bridge to Marin County from the East Bay. Got home, you know, felt the notes in his head and went, "Oh wow, this is a good one. This is a keeper." Immediately, you know, ran out of the car when he got home, ran to a tape recorder, picked up a guitar, and laid down the notes so he wouldn't forget. Simultaneously, because it was a stormy day, simultaneously, Hunter, about 3 miles away, looking at the bridge. This is a little spooky, but I mean, it's a true story. Looking at the bridge, got inspired, wrote what was about 10 pages of lyrics. The next day, Garcia went over to Hunter's and said, "I've got this great new song." And Hunter said, "So do I." Jerry took page 1, 2, and 10. Lyrics, you know, it's a limit to how many lyrics you can put to a song. And bingo, they had Terrapin Station.
It seems as if the Dead discovered electricity and LSD at the same time. And one of the stories I enjoyed in the book was about how the Dead were introduced to LSD by the CIA. Now, help me wrap my head around that one, please.
It's a great concept, isn't it? The CIA, in a program called MKUltra, experimented quite frequently and really horribly with unsuspecting people, but also with people who knew they were getting a psychedelic drug. Throughout the late 50s and early 60s, and they did it, among other places, at VA hospitals. And the first person in the Grateful Dead scene to receive LSD, as well as other psychedelic drugs, was Robert Hunter. So did Ken Kesey, for example, participate in this program at the Menlo Park VA hospital in the Palo Alto area. Jerry and the other members of that scene got it more casually and more informally. And it's interesting because it was in early 1965, in the wake of the Rolling Stones, they had started to play electric instruments late in 1964 and created this band called the Warlocks. And they'd been rehearsing for a little while. And it's a nice synchronous event because it's very, very close in time. There is some kind of primal connection between LSD and electricity. LSD electrifies your life, one might say. And in April of 1965, just before the Warlocks played in public for the first time, someone turned on Jerry to LSD, and he and his wife took it and had a marvelous day. And as Jerry said, I didn't know it before, but this is what I've been looking for all along. And there was no turning back at that point.
The Dead's first incarnation as a rock band was the Warlocks. Let's play a cut from a 1965 Warlock demo for Autumn Records. The song is Mindbender, and this is from the Grateful Dead box set, The Golden Road. And that was the first incarnation of the Grateful Dead, the Warlocks. My guest is Dennis McNally, author of A New History of the Grateful Dead. We'll be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Dennis McNally. Since 1984, he's worked as the Grateful Dead's head publicist. He has a new book about the history of the Grateful Dead called A Long Strange Trip. Can we talk about space now? could you perhaps put space to rest for us? Some people hate it. Some people love it. And for the few people who don't know what I'm talking about, that's a long improvisational period and that always comes up in every Grateful Dead concert, during which some people choose to use the restrooms.
Think Cecil Taylor's Wild, you know, or Ornette Coleman or Archie Shepp's most creative outbursts, but louder, much, much louder. The time called space, which usually was done without drums, frequently done, at least at the beginning, without drums, so that you just got guitars and keyboards, perhaps, was John Cage, but loud. It was music that had no beat, not necessarily conventional notes. It was absolutely new each time, and was there. It was sort of the heir to the acid test because it was trying to create something that literally would be never heard again. For me, it's some of the finest and most interesting stuff they ever did.
So you loved it as a listener
every time.
Uh huh.
However strange, because there were no limits. Even when it was boring and. I'm not saying it wasn't at times. The very fact that they tried is you know the essential fact. The Grateful Dead, when they play space, they are doing you know what's at their core, what's at their heart. And you're right. A lot of people, and certainly almost everybody who isn't a hardcore Deadhead, don't like it, but. As I say, that's almost the point.
Oh, that's really the thing. I mean, you could say of most music, you either get it or you don't, but it seems so much more true of the Grateful Dead.
the challenges were more extreme because it demanded an active participation. John Perelis wrote that in The Times, and I was very, you know, very pleased because John's a very good and sober and intelligent critic, and I felt... You know, yeah, well, he gets it. Well, and he also, I might add, got Grateful Dead music. But the point was, you're not being entertained. You are a partner in this. And if you aren't willing to be a partner, if you're just sitting there passively saying, amuse me, you won't get it.
You've been following the Dead now for, what, more than 20 years. And your original idea was to trace the line from the Beat Generation to the Dead. What do you feel that you've come up with at the end of 20 years?
Outside of a consistency of the social approach, which is to say anti-materialism, a kind of environmental attitude that almost all the band members have contributed to, The basic idea relates to the idea of improvisation. Kerouac, what Allen Ginsberg called spontaneous bop prosody, which wasn't quite literally 100% improvisational, but remarkably close to it. And what Kerouac did with writing, the Grateful Dead did with music, because although they used the elements of rock and roll, the instruments and electricity and a backbeat, they introduced into this mix elements of jazz intellectually and improvisationally that there are other bands that jam, but nobody ever quite fused the two together, for my money, the way the Grateful Dead did.
Can you think of a song from a live performance that most exemplifies that?
Well, ultimately, Dark Star is the song that it was a vehicle, and it was post, markings in which you went from place to place, but in between you could go anywhere.
Let's listen to Dark Star. This is Dark Star from The Live Dead. Dark Star by the Grateful Dead. Dennis McNally's new History of the Dead is called A Long, Strange Trip.